Welcome to the Let's Get Sensory podcast. My name is Kelsey and I'm an occupational therapist, sensory specialist, and ADHDer. If you're looking to up-level you and your kids' lives by learning how to live a sensory lifestyle to help with attention, anxiety, hyperactivity, and impulsivity, then you've come to the right place. So here we go. Let's get sensory. Sensory fam, it's your host Kelsey. I am just getting back from our annual girls trip. My childhood girlfriends and I, we typically drive down to Florida just for a beach weekend, except this year one of my friends moved to San Diego, so we went there instead, which was an absolute blast. I had only been there like once when I was in high school, so over a decade ago, and we only kind of like drove through the city, so this is my first time really experiencing San Diego, which it is now one of my top favorite cities. Like, I fully understand the San Diego hype now. The people were great, the food was great, the views were amazing, and I'm coming back with sore abs from laughing so hard. I was like, why am I so sore? And then I'm like, oh, okay, probably because I was just laughing nonstop all weekend long, which it's funny how healing really comes in all different forms. Like, I honestly, in typical Kelsey fashion, teared up on the plane thinking about how special this weekend was, just for all of us to be able to get together and reunite in this beautiful city and just spending time with friends that, you know, are like family. And it sounds super cheesy, I know, but how love can really be so healing for our nervous systems. Like, I left on that plane just feeling so recharged and just feeling that healing, that there was healing on a cellular that happened over the weekend. So there were also some beautiful moments, and just also reflecting while I was on the plane. I was honestly a wreck on this plane. I know my neighbors were probably like, what the heck is going on? Because I was crying and smiling at the same time. But it also was just thinking about while I was sitting there, like, how much I've grown and how much I've healed. There were a few moments where old me would have been super anxious and super sensory overloaded, being out in like this busy city or these busy places, and I would have felt like the need to numb myself or compensate by drinking. And just being able to instead use my tools and to regulate my nervous system and to really feel in control over my nervous system was just such an empowering feeling, and just really reminded me of how far I've come. Like, here I am crying on the plane, just feeling so proud of myself, thinking about little Kelsey, who was so insecure and just felt like I was drowning from the weight of anxiety and trauma and a dysregulated nervous system, and drowning, just feeling depressed, and how little Kelsey would look at me now and how confident we are, how at peace we are, how happy we are. It was really one of those pinch me moments, and just a feeling that I want to hold on to for forever and just never forget that feeling. Even on the trip, you know, my phone was hacked, my social media hacked, and all my passwords were compromised. And even when all of that was going on, I still didn't feel anxious, which old me would have definitely spiraled. And also, you know, I like to keep my podcast and the energy here very positive, high vibe, hopeful energy, fear-free energy. So I'm not going to harp on it, but just friendly reminder to be careful using your chargers in public places, specifically airports. They actually have specific special spam blocking chargers. It's just like a tiny piece that you can plug into your phone. It makes it super easy to just carry it in your wallet. I ordered one. I'm just going to put it in my wallet. And it's only like $10 too, so it's definitely worth it if you travel frequently and like to charge your phone at the airport or in public places if you have any trips coming up. But even with this situation and other health scares that I've had recently, including a loss in my family last week, I've had a lot of really tough things pop up unexpectedly. And while it's been extremely challenging, that's not to say I haven't cried my eyes out, because it's not about being happy, positive 24/7 every second of the day. It's about feeling in control, feeling regulated, not feeling hopeless and feeling entirely overwhelmed when life throws those inevitable curveballs our way. which this seems like it's a great way into healing ADHD. Yes, no, maybe so. What are my thoughts? And to be completely honest, no one has actually ever asked me, Kelsey, can you heal ADHD? Like, not a single person, not a parent that I've worked with, no one has actually ever asked me that question. And even more than that, it's actually feels taboo to even talk about. Like, there's a good chance that I'm gonna get some sassy messages from people when they see the title of this podcast. And this might be a surprise to you, but this is actually part of the problem. It's just this taboo-ness behind healing ADHD. And it's a simple fact that no one thinks you can heal ADHD or help ADHD. We are given these diagnoses and they feel a lot of times like a lifetime sentence. They feel irreversible. And just to give a little comparison, I've been experiencing some new health concerns and my doctor was like, well, these symptoms are most commonly seen in people with diabetes and wanted to test me for diabetes. And during this time, I naturally started worrying, like, what if I have diabetes? What if it's type 1? And just thinking about everything that comes with the diabetes diagnoses. And I started picturing what the rest of my life would be with diabetes. And honestly, while, of course, ADHD and diabetes are two completely different things, like, very, very, very different, I'm aware, and come with completely different experiences and challenges, what I am trying to say is that a lot of times we're given an ADHD diagnosis and it can come with a feeling of overwhelm. It can come with a similar feeling of hopelessness that, okay, ADHD is for life. This means that my life is gonna always be more difficult. This is something that I'm gonna have to deal with and endure for the rest of my life. There's this feeling of hopelessness, this feeling of loss that comes with it. And obviously I can't speak for everyone. I can only speak for myself. And I had a lot of mixed feelings personally. Like, part of me felt broken, felt sad, felt jealous that all of these other people had it easier and that this meant that my life was always going to be more difficult, that I'd always have to try 100 times harder than everybody else. Like, why can't my life be easy? And I felt hopeless, this feeling of hopelessness that just life was always going to be hard with the ADHD paralysis. The intense emotions, the anxiety, the depression, the sensory overload, the burnout, the fatigue, the brain fog, the social anxiety, the demand avoidance, all these different things that come with ADHD and that I experience due to my ADHD. It's more like, okay, just gonna have to learn to live with this. We're just gonna have to learn to suck it up, accept that this is always how life's gonna be. Life is just always gonna be more difficult for me. Or maybe you've had like the at least it's not cancer thought, like, or something more life-threatening, and we don't realize when we have this thought, this feeling of it being a lifetime diagnosis, this feeling that there's no cure, this is actually way more harmful and dangerous than we realize. This causes us to catch something that I personally call the hopelessness virus, where that feeling of hopelessness breeds more hopelessness, which then breeds more hopelessness and makes our ADHD symptoms worse and worse. And I know this because it's something that I've experienced and know all too well. The anxiety, the depression, low self-esteem, low motivation, all of those are actually symptoms of the hopelessness virus. And I'm going to join in the group of healthcare professionals saying the opposite, which is that ADHD is curable. There are two types of ADHDers, and I'll actually extend that to neurodivergency that I see all the time. There are your ADHDers who have a lot of hope. In kids, I see this in kids who have very supportive parents. You can tell their parents are very purposeful about helping to raise their self-esteem. They come from a calm home where there's a lot of love and support. And you can see that they are more motivated, that these little ADHD kids are happier, they're less anxious, they're less depressed. And then you have the opposite side of the spectrum are ADHDers who don't have a lot of hope. And this is where I spent majority of my life is in this realm of ADHD. And you'll see that we have that hopelessness virus We're more anxious, more depressed, more easily overwhelmed. We give up more easily. And I used to have the hopelessness virus for most of my life. I had that virus. I felt hopeless about my ADHD and I felt hopeless about my capabilities. And we've all heard about the placebo effect, the idea that our brain can convince our body a fake treatment is the real thing. And so the so-called placebo effect will stimulate real healing on a cellular level. Science proves this. Research proves this by the simple belief will have a physical impact in our body and will stimulate real healing. And that research shows us that even under the right circumstances, a placebo can be just as effective as traditional treatments. And so it's important to know also the opposite of a placebo effect, the nocebo effect, is what happens when there's a negative outcome that occurs due to a negative belief, that occurs due to a limiting belief. So what does this tell us? Like, why is this so important? It's because we don't realize that we are making our ADHD worse by continuing the narrative that ADHD is a forever disorder and that you can't heal ADHD. So what do I tell my kids to help prevent the hopelessness virus and to help plant a positive placebo effect, aka rewiring their limiting beliefs and turning them into positive beliefs? I tell them the truth, that once we learn how to use our superpowers, ADHD being our superpowers, it can be one of the most beautiful things. I tell them that the beauty behind ADHD, that we get to see things that other people can't see. We get to feel things that other people can't feel, other people can't experience. And that ADHDers have some of the most beautiful gifts, these unique gifts. Like, I am extremely intuitive. And a lot of my ADHD kids, friends, clients, also similar. And for me, I was extremely gifted in subjects like math and science. I was also very hyper empathetic, which I view as my superpower now that I have healthy boundaries surrounding it. But like, I can have these deeply healing conversations with people by the fact that I'm able to just have this immense amount of empathy, this immense amount of warmth that came from my ADHD, that comes from my sensitivities. And I can give them the healing power of kindness, that true empathy. I get to give people the healing power of loving themselves and their uniqueness and their differences because I know what it's like to be different, to have these struggles, and just to see the world on a deeper level, to see life more deeply. There are so many things that are like true ADHD superpowers. Like, I could go on and on, and honestly, maybe I'll do a full episode on that. But I tell kids how truly beautiful ADHD can be and how I'm so happy I have my ADHD and how I strengthened my ADHD and how I learned to heal my ADHD, which I'm gonna get into what I mean by that. And I really am, like, which obviously was not the case for a long time. I wasn't happy about having ADHD. But now that I've created this life that fits my ADHD needs, that fits my sensory needs, and created a routine that is set up for me in a way where I can thrive, or my nervous system can thrive, I am so incredibly happy. And even though healing is hard, this is something that is really not talked about enough. Healing is heavy. Healing is not easy. The trauma healing, the sensory healing, the ADHD healing, it is not easy at all. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, but digging down and unraveling all the trauma built up in our senses and our nervous system after time, it is heavy and it is hard, but it is so worth it. Every month, I'm like, I don't think it can get better than this. And then it does. I'm like, I don't think I can be happier than this. And then somehow I find ways to reach new happiness levels, to feel happier than I ever thought was possible. So do I have ADHD in the sense that my brain works differently and I have to do things differently? Yes. Yes, I do. Does my life look like what I was told it's supposed to look like and what I thought it would look like? No, absolutely not. It looks completely different. I don't live a neurotypical life. I live a neurodivergent life and I love it now. I've resisted it for a long time and I just wanted to do things a neurotypical way, but I truly love my neurodivergent life now that I've found what feels good for me, that makes that boost my self-esteem, that makes me feel motivated, makes me feel regulated, makes me feel at peace. I don't view it as a disorder. I don't view my ADHD as a disorder or a death sentence or a life sentence now. Am I happy with my ADHD in my life? Yes, I am. I'm happier than I have ever been in my entire life. That childlike sense of happiness, of wonder, I have that. I feel that. I remember driving in the car as a kid, and I'm just like, think back and get a glimpse of that feeling of just excitement and happiness and that just childlike wonder. And I get that feeling all the time now and have really grown that feeling in my nervous system through healing my nervous system, healing my ADHD. Someone who spent countless nights crying herself to sleep as a child, as a young adult, now gets to experience this new level of happiness. Like, I'm so like, pinch me. How is this real? Do I still have trouble focusing? Yes, my brain still processes things differently, but it is a heck of a lot faster than it used to be. I focus 10 times better, 100 times better. My memory is better. I'm not living in this traumatized state anymore, so my brain is holding on to memories better. And my social anxiety is better. I don't feel like I'm going to pass out or have an anxiety attack going out into busy public places. And if I do feel those feelings, that sensory overload popping up, I know exactly what to do and what my sensory needs are. And am I anxious now? Like, now most nights I fall asleep easily. I can fall asleep so fast, which was not the case for a really long time. And I wake up feeling peaceful, wake up feeling content and not anxious every single morning waking up. I'm feeling depressed and hopeless every single morning. How I woke up for a long time and just normalized and just like that was my norm. Just waking up feeling hopeless, having that hopelessness virus. Like, do I still feel heightened emotions? Yes, I do. Although I'll say it happens less frequently. And when it does, there's not this feeling of hopelessness and depression that comes with it. And that is what makes the intense emotions, the heightened emotions, way more difficult when we have that feeling of hopelessness and depression that comes with it. I don't feel that dread when I'm feeling sad or when I'm feeling angry. Instead, I have a feeling of like, I got this, I can get through this. Through a combination of sensory trauma therapy and nutrition, I have truly transformed my nervous system and have seen so many other kids and adults do the same thing. So to answer your question again, can you heal ADHD? Did I heal my ADHD? The first step to healing is believing. Remember, placebo effect is real and is so important. Believing that we can heal our ADHD, and by that I mean we can strengthen our ADHD. Our beliefs impact our body, remember, on that cellular level. Our beliefs are changing our body on this physical level that we don't even realize it's happening. And this is why beside me, on my bedside table, I have written on a piece of paper, I am healing my ADHD. Not because I don't love my ADHD, because remember, I do. By I'm healing my ADHD, I mean it more in the sense I am healing my body. Like when we say we are healing our body, we mean that we are strengthening it. We are getting it stronger. We're getting it rid of diseases and harms. So when I write that I'm healing my ADHD, what I mean is I am strengthening my ADHD. I'm getting rid of that hopelessness virus that can come with it, the depression, the low self-esteem, all of those challenging things that can come with ADHD. I'm strengthening my ADHD. The limiting beliefs, it's kind of like getting rid of a disease in your body. I'm getting rid of a disease in my ADHD, those limiting beliefs. I have completely changed how I view my ADHD and how I view my future with ADHD. And so parents, be wary how you talk about ADHD and other neurodivergencies, because it really makes such a big difference, a huge difference, a cellular difference. And it makes a difference also for other neurodivergents like myself, how we talk about our conditions, our diagnoses, how we talk about ourselves, how we view our ADHD. The truth is there is way more hope than you could ever imagine. And hope is one of the most powerful drugs, one of the most powerful medicine on the planet, Google placebo effects, Google like miracle stories related to placebo effects, to the power of believing, and you'll see the proof. You'll see the evidence. This is facts. Hope is one of the most powerful, most healing drugs on the planet. Hope is the foundation of sensory trauma therapy. Every sensory strategy is founded in hope. And if you are wanting guidance, I'm going to tell you step by step what to do, how to heal our nervous system, how to heal our ADHD, then I invite you to join Sensory Therapy Retreat membership. Inside, I walk you through a full nervous system evaluation, daily sensory tools, life-changing video lessons, live workshops every month. This Saturday, I'm actually hosting a live workshop where I'll be sharing my top absolute favorite life-changing sensory strategies for kids. This workshop is what I wish I could have gifted my parents when I was struggling with ADHD and SPD as a child. And you can join the membership to save your seat, or you can purchase a workshop-only ticket and join us for this special two-day event, July 29th and August 2nd. And also get excited for next month's six-week nervous system makeover challenge inside the membership, where we will be doing a year's worth of nervous system healing in 6 weeks. After lots of personal trial and error, lots of depression moments where I did not think I was going to make it, after being a human guinea pig and literally trying it all for a decade, I've cracked the code. Sensory trauma therapy is a therapy made for neurodivergence by a neurodivergent that really gets to the root of dysregulation. It gets to the root of difficulty paying attention, gets to the root of anxiety, the root of sensory meltdowns, the root of low self-esteem, and it shows you how to heal your nervous system on a physical level, a sensory level, an emotional level, a psychological level, on every level. Because remember, the truth is healing is hard, healing is heavy, but the biggest mistake I ever made was thinking that I had to do it all on my own and that I wasn't worthy of help. Which also I realize now that a big part of that was not thinking that there was anything I could do to help, which was far from the truth. We can strengthen our ADHD, we can heal our ADHD, and we deserve help. We deserve to be supported, to be guided through. It doesn't need to be hard. Feel like having ADHD, also part of that hopelessness to belief and that it's just always going to be difficult. That was just part of it. I just thought it just had to be more difficult. And with that, that kind of meant going it, having to do it all on my own, not asking for help, being scared to ask for help. And so remembering just we deserve support, someone to make it easy to hold our hand through this process, which is exactly why I created Sensory Therapy Retreat membership. It's the course with all the tools and knowledge that I use regularly to regulate and heal my nervous system. In all my programs, I provide sensory training certifications, which goes to show that there is no gatekeeping here. You are learning on a therapist's level of training. Plus, I believe that the best type of training is one that you experience firsthand so you can understand it on a much deeper level than just like your typical lecture surface level style of trainings. So inside the membership, you can get access to everything and more, including this weekend's Sensory Therapy for Kids workshop, which you can also purchase workshop only tickets to if you would like a sneak peek inside the membership. So to join the membership and to join the Sensory Therapy family, you can find all the details in the show notes. And before I go, I just want to remind you that whatever you are going through right now, that there is hope. There's more hope than you can ever imagine. You are not in this alone. And I also want to leave you with a quick sensory tip, which is how I want to start ending my episodes, with a goodbye sensory tip. So for my first goodbye sensory tip, this is actually one that I did yesterday on the plane. A lot of times when I first started doing this, I actually did it with kids and was like, hey, I'm going to start trying this myself. But I will picture myself inside of a bubble. I'll visualize a bubble around me and remind myself that I am safe and that I am protected and that this bubble is my like defense shield, my protective field. It's a quick little mind trick that is actually super powerful. I realized how powerful it was with kids, tried it myself, and I was like, wow, just as powerful for me. And so for me, I used to get really bad plane anxiety and I would get panic attacks whenever I was flying, which has gotten so much better. I haven't had a panic attack in years, but every now and then I'll just feel a little bit of that anxiety pop up. And this is one of those tools that I'll use to help myself regulate. And so this past weekend, I would picture the bubble around the plane and a bubble around myself. And I would just fill my bubble up with love or hope. And I would kind of visualize a color to signal, to symbolize love or hope, and I would fill up my bubble with that color. And honestly, this is a strategy that I use every week. Just randomly, I'll use my bubble visualization sensory strategy, and it's one that, go try it for yourself. Next time that you're feeling anxious, visualize your bubble, fill it up with a color, and just tell me that that doesn't bring some peace, some safety, some regulation to your nervous system. Let me know how that strategy goes whenever you try it, either personally or try it with your kids. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Let me know what you think. Also, if you leave a podcast review, take a screenshot and DM it to me on my Instagram at sensory_therapist. I'll send you my special sensory supplement guide with my top nervous system supplements, since you know I'm all about the gut health in addition to the sensory health. So thank you guys so much for joining me, and I will see you all next week. Love you guys.